Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. South Dakota would become the last state in the nation to make animal cruelty a felony under a bill approved by the legislature. It will become law if signed by Governor Dennis Dugard. The House voted 54-15 to pass the measure yesterday after receiving earlier approval by the Senate. The measure was written in a compromise led by state veterinarian Dustin Odekoven. Livestock groups, law enforcement officials, veterinarians, local animal control officials, and animal welfare supporters all worked on the bill. Dr. Odekoven is unavailable to join us today, but with us on the line from Pierre is Republican State Senator Chantel Krebs. She helped lead efforts to get the measure passed. Senator Krebs, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on the program.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I bet it sounds like a busy time. Just got done taking a vote.
Yes, actually, I did. I was a little worried because you were calling and I had to decline the call. I saw it coming in, and then we were just actually addressing our first veto that was delivered from the governor. Literally, just moments ago, I just stepped back on the floor while I was on hold with you guys and made my vote and cast my vote on that. There was a specific veto on allowing certain municipalities to increase, or I should say not, should say increase their occupancy tax. So like a bed tax, you know, like in say a Deadwood or so that wanted to increase their hotel tax from $2. And I think the maximum was in the language that could not exceed $3, but it was vetoed by the governor, but it did not get overridden just now. The Senate did not have enough votes. Of course, a veto requires 2/3. And it did not receive the required 2/3 to override its veto, so it has been sustained.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you're able to talk with us a little bit about the animal cruelty bill. It's something that's been in the works for several years. There's been a lot of efforts to make animal abuse a serious crime in the state. There was an animal cruelty bill introduced during last year's legislature, but that one didn't go anywhere. What was different about this bill that was passed?
Well, thanks for the question, Carl. I mean, I've served now 10 years between the House and the Senate, and over the course of those past 10 years, we have had several pieces of legislation that have tried to address specific language. And again, I think that's the clarification, is that it's language that we didn't have a specific definition of animal cruelty in statute that reflects a felony. Of course, there's been animal neglect and there's misdemeanor cases and things like that, but when it comes to a relationship to a felony conviction, that was not in statute. So over the course of those 10 years, we saw some legislation come forth, but it never really was vetted, or the ag community, our ag producers and industry, livestock industry experts were never asked to be at the table to help with wording and language. And we all, as we know, agriculture is our number one economy and industry in our state, and it has a huge effect, a $21 billion impact to our state's economy. And so when you have the number one economy and they're not being asked to be at the table to talk through this, nor the state veterinarian to talk through it, the challenge was that they were always in opposition, because we do really need, and typically in Pierre, in this even 40 days, we always like to see compromise and have everybody at the table to make sure that all sides are heard. And so last year, something was brought forth before my committee. I chair the Senate Agricultural Committee, and another bill was brought forth, and I specifically directed them as the chair at the end of the committee hearing to say that if we want to continue having this conversation, that I believe that it should be led by our state veterinarian, Dr. Odekoven, because this is something that he works with and on behalf of the Animal Industry Board, and he deals with us on a day-to-day basis, and that we do need to review our statutes, and I direct all industry members to be a part of that and being led by Dr. Odekoven. And so that was my direction from and as the chair of the Senate Ag Committee. From there, all summer long, we reviewed chapters 40, which contains the language in abandoned captive animals, you know, animal neglect, all of the language that is in thereof that has been presently in current statute. And so we updated a lot of that, which had been amended over the years and probably most recently looked at in the 90s, but we did need to update some language. And so we did that along with clarifying specifically and defining animal cruelty. So the language specifically says cruelty is intentionally, willfully, and maliciously inflicting gross physical abuse on an animal that causes prolonged pain or serious physical injury that results in the death of the animal. And then with a judge's decision, of course, a possible class 6 felony could be incurred upon that if a judge decides that. So that's where this all, the fruition of the bill to that led to this, and we further clarified animal neglect and further clarified humane killing and dangerous animals and mistreatment and, again, neglect, and also further defined how law enforcement officers would handle such takings.
And how, in regards to animal neglect, and that, as I understand it, that remains a misdemeanor?
Correct. Animal neglect still would remain as current statute states already. So there's really no change that, well, I guess we further defined it a little bit, that no person owning or responsible for the care of an animal may neglect, may not abandon, nor mistreat. And the violation of that is a Class 1 misdemeanor. So further defining neglect, abandonment, mistreatment is a Class 1 misdemeanor under neglect.
Is this bill similar to other animal cruelty laws in neighboring states that have a strong ag industry, strong livestock industry?
Yes, Carl. Just recently last year, I believe, North Dakota addressed the same situation here. I think we were the second to last state to specifically address this, and we did utilize some language from that piece of legislation as well. But more importantly, we had our leader of our animal industry board, our Dr. Odekova, in our state that really take the lead to make sure that we were not having any impact that would affect producers. And that's really important here because if you look at it specifically, the exemptions are stated in Section 15 of the bill that we exempt specifically the direct care of such as veterinarians, anybody that is obviously any customary practice within the production of food, feed, fiber, and all aspects of the livestock industry, and it exempts anybody in the boarding, the breeding, the competition of dogs, raising, showing, training, or use of animals, and the harvesting of animals for food and byproducts. So any lawful hunting, exempts any lawful hunting, trapping, fishing, any lawful pest, varmint control, and disposition of wild animals, any reasonable action taken by a person for the destruction of an animal that's being known to be dangerous or a threat. And so we had all of these exemptions, and any ag pursuit, and it specifically says, engaged in standard and accepted agricultural pursuits of animal and husbandry practices. So that exemptions covers all of your producers here in South Dakota. And I want to make sure that's clarified here, and that's why we had all industries, leaders at the table, is to make sure that we didn't, miss anything. But again, a lot of those things were in current statutes that we just cleaned up.
Well, given the concern over the years regarding what an animal cruelty law would mean for livestock producers, it sounds from what you're saying, Senator, is that this bill in a large part protects farmers and ranchers in the state?
Absolutely. I mean, that was our first and foremost, is that we know who takes care of our animals in the most humane way and how it practices the best husbandry ways as anybody. And it's our producers and our ranchers and our corn growers and they all are involved in livestock production in some way, shape, or form. And so we obviously wanted to protect their practices. At the same time, recognizing if somebody or an individual is maliciously, willfully, or intentionally, and that again, those are the words, inflicting gross physical abuse, then we do need to address that individual appropriately and letting the judge decide if that's considered a felony.
When you first started debate over this animal cruelty bill, was there some suspicions on behalf of some ag producers of what all was involved in this bill? Did it take some time to persuade people who may be reluctant to get behind this?
Carl, that's a good question because, at the end of in my committee last year when we heard of a proposal to place animal cruelty as a felony in statute, a lot of our industry representatives were there testifying, obviously, against it. And so they heard my direction specifically, and they were very willing and accepting to sit down at the table because they do know and realize that their livelihoods were at stake and that their voices need to be heard. And so they were very willing to do that. And they had how many meetings over there and how many hours at the table this summer. And everybody, like I said, felt very comfortable moving forward. And it was interesting when we had those meetings, there were how many hours in a day that they spent nitpicking over specific words and how it would affect anybody that is involved in the industry. So I think they did such a good job vetting everything, and I think that's why that we had no opposition, I should say none, but as far as industry supporters, we had complete support from co-ops, county commissioners, dairy producers, farm bureau, farmers union, grain, feed, livestock, auction, marketers, pork producers, poultry, stock growers, quarter horse, veterinarians, medical association, just go down, pet breeders. And so we had everybody on board because we asked everybody to be at the table.
And was that difficult, or did you have to explain what it was behind this bill and why it was important to get everyone together?
It wasn't difficult because, we had a good leader at the table with our state veterinarian walking through. And, again, they knew that this was going to be the process, that they were charged with these duties from my specific direction last summer. So it wasn't difficult at all. People were very willing to sit down and work through it.
Why did you get involved with this bill, helping get a new animal cruelty law passed in the state? Was this just part of your role as a leader in the legislature, or were there an interest in animal welfare?
Both. I mean, I as a Senate ag chairwoman, I'm directly here bills and legislation that directly impacts our producers, and I want to make sure that my number one job is to take care and protect our producers and our ranchers at the same time, knowing that this issue will continue to surface and resurface every year and not get addressed appropriately. That's when I said I have to get involved and take the leadership as the chairwoman to direct this action being taken. And a lot of times, things just need to be worked out over the summertime. Somebody may come forth with an individual piece of legislation, and they haven't asked to have everybody at the table, and sometimes things can get overmissed with language, and that's where you have to be a leader and take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and say this has to be done. And before we come back to session next year, we expect as a committee to come before us with an agreement and a compromise from all tables, from everybody at the table.
Have you heard anything from the governor's office whether Governor Dugard will sign this bill?
I have not heard anything, but I have not heard, and that's a good thing, because I haven't heard any opposition either. So I just don't feel that we'll have any concerns coming from second floor or the governor's office that I'm aware of. So I feel we'll be very successful in him signing the bill.
About two and a half days left for this session. Final things that you're working on that you have to get completed yet before you can all go home?
Specifically myself, I just actually had a concurrence motion here in the Senate. I just literally walked off the Senate floor and just got done speaking on patent trolling and protecting those businesses that may get a demand letter from somebody that supposedly holds a state patent and demands upon our small businesses to be paying for intruding upon their so-called patent, which they're called patent trolls, and they just send out these nationally letters and say, you as a small mom-and-pop shop, you owe me money because you infringed on a patent of mine, which really isn't even legitimate. So I did some language and new legislation on protecting those that environment. But then in the final days, we just received our revenue numbers, and that's why, people always talk about, the budget. We wait until the last minute, but it happens every year because we don't have our revenue numbers in. We wait for our sales tax returns to come in for January, and our sales tax revenues for February just got posted, and so we're just hearing. And, of course, you heard the message that we are down just a bit in sales tax revenues and unclaimed property, but in continuing our projections will be that. Not significantly, not as strong of growth is projected. And so we're very cautious, again, in taking care that how we spend our taxpayer money is very diligently out here. And so what we're going to do is look at each specific light item and request. There was some money that was on the table this year. We had an extra unclaimed property. Of course, when you have extra money, everybody has their hand out. We have to be very judicious when we look at that list. And trust me, it's a long list and a lot of hands and a lot of pieces of pie that want to be cut up. So we have to be very judicious in who we look at and how. I mean, we've got obviously education at the forefront. I mean, almost 50 cents of your taxpayer dollar, 50 cents of your taxpayer dollars goes towards education. So how much more do we give on top of that? And we look at, Medicaid funding, taking care of our highways, our roads, our safety. So those are all things that will be continued to be talked about here coming up this afternoon, tonight, and tomorrow.